Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the Anti-Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministries. And we're so delighted tonight to be back on our radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. I give God reverence tonight. I reverence God tonight, who is my light, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in this absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast again on tonight to study the Word of God. We're going to get ready to call our radio broadcast, our Bible class to order. Now we're going to have a short devotion, a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heaven. Honor and majesty are before him, and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathens that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. I have just read you from Psalms 96, from the first verse down to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Amen.
Hands and more, God, all that I am inside my heart. Oh, the author again, set me on fire, set me on fire. All I have in these hands and more, God. All that I am inside my heart, oh, your looking set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Here I am.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, God, just confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we first of all come just giving you praise and glory on tonight. We magnify your holy name tonight, Lord. We just bless your name on tonight. We thank you tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And then we come, Lord, asking you to bind the strong man, God, from our lives on tonight. Bind up the strong man, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, from this radio broadcast. And everybody that's under the sound of my voice, God, bind the strong man tonight, Lord. I bind the strong man up. I bind you up, and I cast you out, and I command you to go. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command you to go. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you right now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover our radio broadcast, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Then I ask you to open up our mind and open up our hearts that we may be receptive and receive your word. on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open up the word to us, Lord, that we may understand in the name of Jesus. Then I ask you to let me, Deborah Dean, decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise on tonight, and we give you glory tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you right now, God. Thank you right now, God. We thank you right now, God. We give you praise, and we give you glory. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So shall it be. Amen. I just want to give God all the praise on tonight and give him all the glory tonight. We're going to start in the new book tonight. We're going to be over in the book of Exodus. Mm-hmm. And I thank and praise God for that, because it's an awesome book. We just, once we get into it, like we want to get into it, it's an awesome book. So we're going to get ready to start reading. I want my armor bearer here to start reading for me. At Exodus chapter 1. At the first verse, start.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
All right. I'm reading out the book of Exodus 1, Exodus chapter 1, the first verse. And it says,
That's what you said.
Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar,
mm-hmm.
Zebulun, and Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
Dan,
mm-hmm.
and Naphtali,
mm-hmm.
Naphtali. Gad and Asher,
mm-hmm.
and all the souls that came out of the lines of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom, Ramesses.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor.
Mm-hmm.
And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. I'm sorry, everyone, for stumbling.
Okay.
All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shipporah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Shipporah.
Shipporah. Mm-hmm.
Shipporah. And the name of the other, Pua. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then he shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter, ye shall save alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do I keep going?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Moses. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took the wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes.
Mm-hmm.
And throbbed it
mm-hmm.
with swine and with pitch, and put the child therein, mm-hmm. and she laid it in the flat by the river's brink.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maiden walk along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, And she said, because I drew him out of the water, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smitten and Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him, that did the wrong. Wherefore smitest thou they, though thou fellow? Mm-hmm. And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me, as thou killedest the Egyptians, the Egyptian. And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water mm-hmm. their father's flock.
Mm-hmm.
And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and watered their flock. And when they came to Ruel,
mm-hmm.
their father, he said, how is it that ye all come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And she bore him a son, and he called his name Gershom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came mm-hmm. to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God mm-hmm. looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, son. For the read. Thank you. You did a very good job. Thank you so much. Amen. So we're going to get ready to answer some questions here. We're going to start in chapter 1. So what did the new king of Egypt fear of Israel? What did he fear of Israel, the new king?
He feared the invasion from the Hittites of the north. I mean, if the Hebrews among them joined with the Hittites, then it would pose a significant threat to their security. So he feared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. He sure did. He feared that they would become stronger than Egypt. Amen. So what did he do because of this? What did he do to the Israel? Right. Because of this.
Okay. He put hard labor on them. made him her work harder. He assigned some taskmasters to them and just really, really oppressed them and put that hard work and labor on them.
Yes, he did. Amen. What did the king of Egypt ask the Hebrew midwives to do? What did he had nerve to ask them to do?
Okay, well, he asked them to kill all the male babies. And to destroy the people of Israel within, you know what I'm saying, like the generations if he killed the male babies. And I mean, you know, we may see like the command of Pharaoh, how can I say this? We may see like the command of Pharaoh consistent with Satan's plan of, you know, the Jews, like the hatred through centuries throughout, you get what I'm saying? Like, because it's leading up to something. And I mean, it's basically starting to be an attack, you know what I'm saying, like against God's Messiah, you know what I'm saying? And the ultimate plan for Israel is redemption, you know what I'm saying? Like, they knew that the seed of a woman, of the woman, like the seed of the woman, you get what I'm saying? And who, if he cut off, you know, every male, then, you know, Jesus wouldn't be born, in a sense. And I mean, that's what you know, that could come from the children of Israel. So he tried to basically destroy the whole nation in one generation by ordering all the male children killed. That's basically what I'm saying. Thank you, Jesus.
And he coming through, the Messiah coming through that bloodline, that lineage. So he wanted the Hebrew midwives to kill all the male and leave the women. Did they do this?
No.
Okay.
They feared God.
What did they tell the that's right. What did they tell the king that they told the king what? They told the king they told the king that the what did they tell the king? I'm not gonna answer that. I'll answer.
That the Egypt women, that the Hebrew women not like the Egypt women, you know, and I mean, they probably feared Pharaoh too. They feared God, but they probably feared Pharaoh too, and, you know, because he had power. But they feared God more. So God trumped. You get what I'm saying? They choice, and they made, it was clear. You get what I'm saying? It's just like how we are. And I mean, that go back to the days and us making choices on things we do on a daily basis. Some things,
right.
Just about everything we do on a daily basis, Mama. I mean, Pastor, yeah. We need to be asking God. You get what I'm saying? We need to be having fear of some of those things that we even try to do. You get what I'm saying? Or, you know, because God sometimes don't want us to do certain things because certain things are not good for us. You know, and I mean, that's why we need to pray and ask God for clarity in our daily, day-to-day activities and what we do, because, you know, that fear back then was something else. Now people ain't fearing God. They doing all kind of stuff, not thinking. I mean, including me. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, where your bad choices, punishment, and consequences follow. But the thing about it is you can avoid all that if you ask God. You get what I'm saying?
That's
if
right.
You build that relationship with him to a certain level to get to hear him and to trust him more, to know that he got your back. It's going to be his way. And sometimes, you know, the human nization be in us where we don't even listen to. You get what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do you know, he's taking too long. I've heard people say
right.
that. So, you
right.
know, they feared Pharaoh, too. I believe they feared him, too, because he had power. You know, any
yeah,
time a person can order you to do something, you know, got
that's
the
right.
the knowledge to order you to, you know what I'm saying, to do something, you got some kind of power to tell me to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, off your mind. But at
right.
any rate, they was more scared of God because they probably been around knowing how God works and how he do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how we know how he do. You know what I'm saying? But we
right.
just still
right.
be going on doing what we got to do or what we think we got to do and don't let God
mm-hmm.
be the forefront of our choices and don't be the will
right.
of our situation so we make the wrong choices.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Apostle, I just wanted to add a
yes.
little something to that.
Okay.
I just also, they feared God and they also feared Pharaoh, but also those women who he instructed them to go take their babies and kill them, they were strong.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they were healthy because they was out there working hard in the field and stuff too. So
mm-hmm.
they were strong women. They wasn't all
mm-hmm.
you know, the weak women that they had to go and take
right.
their baby from and kill them. So they had a fight up on
right.
their hand. Yeah,
right.
so they
absolutely.
They had every reason to be scared. They finna go mess with one of these thick Israelite women that these folks putting all this, oppressing them with all this hard labor. They had a fight
mm-hmm.
on their hand, so they was the most definitely scared. I would have bagged out too.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Most of all with God though, but and then the Israelite women wasn't like the Egyptian women. They were saying as soon as they start having the baby, they'll have the baby before they get there. That's what they was telling the king that they would hurry up and have the baby. Because, like you say, they was healthy, they was big, strong, and they was tearing up having them babies. They was lively. That's what she meant by lively. They was more livelier than the Egyptian women. That's something. But, yeah, with all that oppression and all that working out there and with their hands and stuff, it was something for the women to have to go through, especially the ones that were pregnant. Okay. We're on chapter 2 now. No. What did they tell the king? Did they do? They didn't do it. So what did they tell the king? Did we answer that? Okay, we just
mm-hmm.
answered. Okay, y'all. Forgive me, please. Because I got this stuff all kind of stuff in the back of my mind. Okay, chapter 2. Who was born to a man of the house of Levi? This is chapter 2.
Is it Moses?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Moses was born to a man of the house of Levi. Okay. What did the mother do with the baby after he was 3 months old? Because y'all know she hid him for 3 months. What'd she do with him?
She hid him. I mean, what do you mean what she did with him?
Mm-hmm. She hid him.
She put them in a basket and sent them down the river.
Yep. She sure did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what she did.
Yeah, she did. And who found the baby that was born to the Levi man? Who found it?
The daughter of Pharaoh. The daughter of Pharaoh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the daughter
and
of Pharaoh.
Then you know, God had this so beautifully planned out for, you know what I'm saying, like the deliverance of both Moses and
mm-hmm.
eventually for the people of Israel. You know what I'm saying? He, how can I say this? He skillfully guided the parents of Moses. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to further his plan and his purpose, because, I mean, it's also baffling to me, like, how could, I don't know, I guess, you know, she hid her baby because she really believed in God and the way he, you know, she had all faith in him that he would take care of her baby. That's why she hid him. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
it just, you know, that's strong, like Lala was saying. That's real strong for,
mm-hmm.
you know, her to hide her baby for so many months and then somebody else raise her baby.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yep.
But Pharaoh's daughter went totally against his wishes, though, correct?
Huh?
So Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and did all of that, went totally against her father's will, right?
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Because the I don't want to answer because I think it's some more questions down, like who raised the baby, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think she really raised the baby. Yeah.
He says, who saw this person find the baby?
Thought it was the maid, but I mean, I don't know. It was who?
Was it Pharaoh's daughter's sister?
That's who it was. Mm-hmm. She ain't got no name in here, but it was her sister. Mm-hmm. It was the daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's who it was. Who took care of the baby until he was old enough to stay with Pharaoh's daughter? Who took care?
It was the Hebrew woman, right?
It was his mother. It was his mother because the baby kept crying. Moses' mother. You know, she had put him out there in a basket, whatever that was. And she didn't want to put him out there. And then I think the sister, Pharaoh's daughter, heard him crying and stuff, and he was crying and crying. They couldn't stop him from crying. So she told her sister to find somebody to nurse him. So she went to his mother because they, you know, she knew who it was. Mm-hmm. And his mother took care
because
of him.
She had to be the one to nurse him.
Uh-huh. Who took care of, What did Moses do when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew brother?
He killed him.
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
He looked this way and he looked that way. And those were his actions of a man who knew he was about to do wrong.
Mm-hmm. Anybody.
And he buried him too, right?
I don't know. Yeah, he did. He put him down in the sand, didn't he, or something? Mm-hmm. Where did Moses run when Pharaoh stopped to kill him? Where did he run to?
Midian,
yeah, he sure did. Mm-hmm. And who did he marry? Moses. You know, after he got to Midian. Zipporah, yeah. He sure did. He married Zipporah. Yep, he sure did. But that was really good. That was good. It looked like it went so fast, but it was really good because here we left Genesis, and when Joseph died, all of his other brothers died too. All of them died. And I think it was 145 years, something like that. It was, let me see, it's more than that. It was 145 years, something like, it was some centuries. Mm-hmm. It was something like that. But I know it was a century. I don't know how many years. I got to find that out. But because I was reading over in the last part of Genesis up until now, it was, I know, one century anyway. But until all of this stuff started, and the Israel, the children of Israel, because the other generation did not get to Egypt, but these were the children that they had, the children of Joseph and the children of Reuben and the children of Simeon. That's why they called them the children of Israel. They were the ones that went to Egypt. And so they was just being fruitful and multiplying and fruitful, having babies just as quick, just like that Pharaoh said. They was popping them out like jelly beans, honey, just popping them. And they was multiplying, and that Pharaoh, he was getting scared. And so he was King Ramses the Second, I think, this Pharaoh was. And so he was getting afraid because he said they could go with the Hittites or whoever it was against them. You know, so then that's when he started setting a taskmaster over them and putting pressure on them. I don't know how that happened, but because he's king, I guess that's how it happened. But it was so many more of them than it was the Egyptians. They didn't really have to take it, but they were so used to being obedient to the leaders, the leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that's what happened. But Exodus means the way out. And it also tells the story of redemption by the blood and the power. And so it really, Exodus story is really told over in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, and by faith, you know, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid. It's all over in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, from the 23rd verse to the 29th verse. That's why I tell people, you know, the Old Testament is the beginning, but the New Testament always confirms that the Old Testament. It always has something to confirm it in there. Does anyone have anything to comment and stuff on it? Let me be quiet for a while because I want to see what y'all are
like. I just want to say a little something about persecution. And yeah, it was just something about God's people and persecution, even until this day, right now.
Yeah.
It seems like we always find a way to resist it and to be strong, you know, mm-hmm, and to fight mm-hmm through persecution, you know. And, you know, it's just something, it's just how God built us. And I know that he is a deliverer. He delivers us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we stand firm, meaning, you know, we always persecuted, especially black people. We always kicked down,
yes,
slavery, systematic, yes, racism. But we always,
yes,
find a way to get back up and keep moving. And these children of Israel, the Israelites, they kept on going. You know, the more he tried to wipe them out, the more they multiplied, and they just kept becoming stronger and more powerful.
Yep.
powerful, and that's how we have to do. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we got to continue to allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so that
that's
we
right.
can overthrow and overtake the enemy and everything he tries to throw our way or whatever comes mm-hmm. our way. We have to know this, that God will give us the strength. And y'all pray for me because I'm exhausted. But, you know, when it comes down to persecution, I know all of us have been there. We done been lied on and dogged out and talked about for no reason. And it seemed like, you know, it's hard out here in the world, the workforce. You know, you got all this stuff going on. But we just keep on coming back. God just keep on making us stronger. He gives us another way out, a way of escape.
That's
and I just, you know, it just, you know, encouraged me to see how they just continue to build and be stronger and multiply. That's all I want to say.
That's right. That's awesome. Anyone else want to have something to say about the lesson tonight?
Yeah, it seemed like Pharaoh didn't get the blueprint that God laid out for Moses now, because he said he would make their generation a greater generation, that their children and their grandchildren will be great in the nation. And it seemed like, you know, it ain't nothing that nobody can do to stop this. It's just what God planted, and this is what the children of Israelite was. They was, you know, they was kept multiplying because that's the promise that God gave Abraham.
That's
all I wanted
to
say.
That's right. Well, anybody else have something to say? Well, I do know that just give me a second, y'all. Okay. But this Pharaoh, he was afraid, and you know, God is our strength. You know, and anytime we think we're getting weak, God comes along and give us power, give us strength. And so the thing is, what I say that word mean, Exodus, means the way out. That means to leave. Just like that girl sing that song, "This is my Exodus. Deliver me, O Lord." God, it's a deliverance. It's redemption by the blood and the power of God. And so the women, he was working all of them. He worked them. And I don't know whether it's in this chapter or on down in another couple of chapters, but he stopped giving them mortar and stuff. He was having them to make that stuff with just barely none, just some grass or some hay or something. He was making them to make it with just that. He wasn't hardly giving them none. And so he was studying putting heavier tasks on them and putting that strong taskmaster over them. And that's when God put that calling on Moses. But it was so much going on. It was so much going on that King Ramsey was just looking at the children of Israel just going, getting bigger. Every time he looked around, it was a Hebrew, an Israelite. And he was like, these people going too far. They in our land. And I ain't the same king that was the king when Joseph was around. I'm a different one now. And I don't want all these people around me. I'm not the same king or Pharaoh that knew Joseph. I don't know these people. and we're gonna have to do something with them. So it's a whole lot. This is a whole lot in Egypt. This is a whole lot in the book of Exodus. And we're gonna see how God gonna deliver them. When I tell you God is a deliverer, he is a deliverer. And I thank and praise God just for this book, because it tells you and you're going to see how God delivered them and how hard he kept making Pharaoh's heart harder and harder. And sometimes we don't think that God be making people, we be like, what's wrong with him? He, no, God going to do this. No, God going to do that. No, God be trying to tell him something. Okay, I'm going to make his heart harder. I'm going to make it harder so he can keep on going against me. So he going to see, I'm going to let y'all see what's going to happen. So I'm going to keep making his heart harder. And that's what's going to happen to Pharaoh, because he just feel like our God is an idol God. That Pharaoh that Joseph knew, he believed in God. He believed in the Almighty God. He wasn't like this King Ramses. So I'm telling you, it's going to get better and better, and we're going to go through these 40 books so quick, because it's good. And Genesis was good too, but this thing right here is going to get better and better, and it's going to, our minds are going to open up and receive that thing that God has given us, that word. It's an awesome book, and I thank and praise God for it. I could say so many other things, because I have been reading a commentary on it, but I don't want to get past. That's why I keep on trying to stop, because I don't want to get past. But Moses still has that Israelite, the Israelites and Hebrew down in him. And so when he seen the Egyptian trying to kill one of his brothers, he's like, oh, no, I got to get him. He ain't going to do this no more. You know, he was raised as an Egyptian. The lady raised him. But he didn't, after he got so old, he didn't want to be where they were. He didn't want to be around them, because he knew they wasn't his people. He knew that. He knew he was an Egyptian. He knew his mother. He knew who raised him to a certain extent and to a certain point in his life. But she wanted the best for him. That's why she allowed him to go, and they didn't kill him. It was only because of God had a purpose plan for Moses. And so he let the daughter of Pharaoh find Moses. That's the reason why Moses was like that, because he had a calling on his life when he was born. He had a calling on his life. And he let them, God allowed his mama to keep him for 3 months in hiding. And they were trying to kill all the other little boys, but they kept Moses for 3 months, and then she pushed him out there where the Pharaoh's daughter take her shower, her bath at, and she found him, and she loved Moses, because after that she raised him. She loved Moses, and she wouldn't let none hurt him. But when he killed the Egyptian, Pharaoh found out, and then he started hunting Moses. But Moses went on to another city, to another land, the Midian. He went there, and he met Zipporah. And then his mother and father, you don't hear it, because they said he was born to a Levite man. But the man's name was Amorah. And what is the name? Because I just looked at it a little while ago. Amorant and I think his mama name started with a J, Jacket, that is something like that. Let me see if I can find it. But he didn't never talk about his parents. Anybody else would have been, you know, bragging on they parents, but he didn't. They were just ordinary people. They were ordinary people. He didn't brag on them. He could have. But he didn't. Let me see. His his parents' name was let me see where I saw that at, because I'll be reading so quick and I'll be trying to get everything in my mind, but I don't know where I saw that, the birth of Moses. Let me see. Okay. His mother name was, his parents' name was Amram was his father's name, and his mother name was Jochebed. So, and this is all that he ever said, you know, and this was later on. He mentioned their names. He gave their names, but he wouldn't say a whole lot about them because they were just ordinary people and ordinary Hebrews. And then maybe that's why he didn't say a whole lot about them. But it's going to get better and better. And I just thank God that we in this at this point right here, because it's going to open up your understanding so much from the book of Genesis. But all of that's gone and passed now. So we over here with Moses now. And God's going to open up your understanding so much with this book. It's a because I've been reading the commentary on it. It's an awesome book. So, any more questions? Anybody have any kind of questions or anything to comment about? Because we got a couple of minutes. Okay. We're gonna get ready to close out. Okay, and then when we, because it's a whole lot more to say, but I'm not going to do it tonight, but we'll just kind of brush up on it on Tuesday. Father, we just thank you for your word on tonight. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless every member of the End Time Men and Women of War Life Support in the prayer room ministry. God, I ask you to bless them on tonight and encamp angels all around the bottom to protect them. Lord, thank you for opening up their understanding. Thank you for opening up their hearts. Lord, thank you for blessing them, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you for protecting them, God. And thank you, God. I give you praise and glory on tonight. I ask you right now, Lord, to encamp angels all around their homes and their cars and as they work in the workplace, Lord. I ask you to bless tonight. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for you explaining and opening up our understanding and giving us a new revelation about things, God. We give you praise on tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Amen, everybody. I just thank and praise God for you all on tonight. We will be right back here tomorrow for our Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. And if you know anybody, invite them to the Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. And we're going to hope and know that God's going to come through and bless on tomorrow night. So I will see you right back here at the same time. God bless you all. You all have a good night. Amen.
Love you tonight.
Love you too tonight.
Love you. Good night.
Good night. I love you too.